In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We understand the scriptures historically. These things actually happened. These people were real people. Science, of course, denies this, but science is limited. They are bound solely by the laws of nature. And so they completely reject the miracles, things that happen outside of the laws of nature. Men don't walk on water. Floods don't cover the entire earth. Red seas don't part. Five loaves don't feed thousands. And fishing at the wrong time, in the wrong place, doesn't yield a great catch. Science is bound by the laws of nature. It cannot think outside of it. But God is not bound by them. He created them, He controls them, and at times, He can set them aside. When He does, He's intervening in our world in a miraculous way for the good of His people. He injects Himself into history so that you might be saved from your repetitious life bound by these laws of nature. He saves us from our history. He removes the curse. He changes our story from one of death to one of life. He can stop the laws of nature to sustain our life. So yes, His miracles prove that He is God, but chiefly they demonstrate God's love for man in Christ. He will not leave us bound to this world of sin, decay, and death. He will not leave us broken and hurt. He will not confine us to this earth. He enters this world to change our lives and our bodies, to give us something eternal, to redeem us, to rescue us, to pull us out of this broken, failing, chaotic world, to live in His presence. And so the history of Scripture teaches us theology. The miracles teach us theology. All theology is Christology. That is, every doctrine finds its center and its focus in Christ. God worked through His Son to create, to save, to redeem, to sanctify. So He is the one who entered this world and became part of this world as a man. He injected Himself into history in a real and tangible way. He intervened in our struggles, not with a fleeting miracle, but with permanency, His body and His blood. Every time God suspended the laws of nature in the Old Testament, every miracle was a subtle foreshadowing that God would change this world by His incarnation. So you must see Christ everywhere in the Scripture, both the Old and the New, both the prophetic and in the history. All of it reveals Jesus. Which then leads us to the story before us today. We know this story of the great catch well. The people were pressing against Jesus. Jesus got into Peter's boat to teach them. He told Peter to put out into the deep and let down their nets for a catch. The wrong time, the wrong place. Peter objects, but then he obliges. So many fish that two boats began to sink. Peter falls on his knees. Jesus forgives Peter. And though the boats were sinking, they safely make it back to shore, leave everything, and follow Christ. The history is important. But the history is meant to reveal Jesus. And so as Lutherans, we are fond of asking, what does this mean? Out of all the miracles that God could have recorded, why did He see fit to record this one? Simply put, it teaches us that only Christ's word creates faith. And He has placed that word in the mouth of His ministers. So through this historical account, may God deepen our faith and grant us understanding. Jesus enters a boat and goes out into the water to teach. By this, He is casting His net into the crowd to pull them out of their pressing, chaotic life and into the boat of His holy church. He demonstrates this for Peter by telling him to go out and fish in the deep. So the fish are unbelievers. They live in the darkness of the deep with chaos all around them. They think they are free because they can go where they want, up, down, left, right. They can do whatever they want. But really, they are following the ways of the world. They are living in watery darkness, blind to the light of God. And their supposed freedom is nothing more than following the school of fish, following unbelievers, unaware of what goes on in front of them, forgetting even the past, and yet ever cognizant of the dangers that might attack from the side. There is no safety in numbers when it comes to unbelievers. There is no salvation, for not one of those fish will choose to jump out of the water and into the boat with Christ. But Jesus penetrates this world of chaotic darkness with his eternal voice. Go out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. The net is the gospel. The fishermen are the pastors. And so casting the net is preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth. Peter was right to object. The time and the place were completely wrong. This is not how you catch fish. But again, Christ is teaching that the results do not come from Peter or any other pastor. The church does not grow because others are kind and friendly. You see, it's easy to blame a pastor for a shrinking congregation. It's easy to credit a pastor when that congregation grows. But do not be fooled by the devil. Remember this story. Only the word brought the fish in. Only the word increases the church. It alone converts. It alone creates faith. It alone brings people out of that watery, darkened chaos and into the boat where Christ himself is sitting. So the goal of preaching is to bring people out of the world and into the presence of Christ. But that's a dangerous place to be, in the presence of Christ. The fish die there, and Peter is terrified. The law exposes our sins. We deserve to have Christ leave us so that we'd sink down into the abyss. He exposes our fear. Fish don't want to be in the boat. Sinners don't want to be in the church. They'd rather be following the ways of the world in their supposed freedom. But when they are brought in the church, it means they must die. It means our will is crushed, that our supposed freedom is gone, and we are exposed for what we are, just as Peter was exposed as a sinner. So this sanctuary is not a safe place. It is not comfortable to be here. Are the fish at ease in the boat? Is Peter comfortable to be there? No. For the sinner, it is a terrifying experience, for the holy and righteous God is present here. And your sinfulness is made abundantly clear. Or do we need to rehearse your sins? So admittedly, this is a terrible mission statement. So pastors have tweaked the service so that sinners will feel more comfortable here. We always think growth depends on us. We trust our personalities. We trust our methods. We trust how clearly we can articulate and how precisely we can teach doctrine. We said it better than others could have. And we know for a fact that reverence is uncomfortable. Because reverence means that you are in the presence of someone who is holy and righteous. And so the majority remove reverence, so it doesn't look or feel like we are in the presence of God. No longer do they act like they are in the presence of Christ, but they dress and act like they are swimming in this world. And people do come, but I wonder. When churches cater to the world like this, I wonder if they have actually just taken the net and jumped out of the boat. They would still find themselves surrounded by fish. They would think that their church has grown, and they're still holding on to the Bible. But have they brought sinners into the saving presence of Christ? We must stop trying to help God and simply trust His word. It is His church, not ours. His fish, not ours. And yes, the church looks like she is sinking down into the world, like she will not make it another 10 years. But He is the one that will sustain her. Peter did not cause this great catch, and pastors do not bring parishioners into the church. Christ is the cause. Pastors simply preach faithfully in words and in actions. So do not be ashamed that you're a fish flipping and flopping on the deck. That is, do not be ashamed that you find yourself on your knees next to Peter confessing your sin. It is not comfortable, admittedly. It's not comfortable. But your concrete God is present. And so neither should you be surprised that sinners don't like Christ's presence and stay away. Peter did not like it. You by nature were the same. None of that should surprise us. Yet here we are by the grace of God with Christ in the boat. That is surprising. That is miraculous, that the net of the gospel has brought in this great catch from every tribe, nation, language, and people. It has brought us into the very presence of an eternal God. And yes, like Peter, we confess our sins, but then again, we hear the words of our forgiving Redeemer. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of God, because He comes to redeem you by His own blood. He has inserted Himself into your history at this time and place so that you might have His eternal salvation. Do not be afraid of the laws of nature that still bind you in the death that you know is coming, because Christ has entered into your world, your time and space, to give you the greatest miracle He possibly could: forgiveness, life, and salvation. Do not be afraid of the difficulties of this world or the fact that the boat looks like it is sinking. For Christ is with you always, even to the very end of the age. He has overcome death, and so you will make it to the shores of heaven. He loves you. He saves you. He forgives you. And He gives you these great miracles, which we call the sacraments. And so the trick isn't to throw ourselves in the water or to toss the net a particular way, but it's faithfulness, diligence. Preach the word. Trust that word. It will not return to Him empty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.